Hour, where we zero in on the challenges of being a youth in South Africa in 2021. It's 45 years ago since the Soweto uprisings breathed life back into the struggle against apartheid. Some may say even resurrected it. And we wonder, you know, well, we've made so many gains since the advent of democracy in 1994. We can't get past the massive challenges that the youth of South Africa face today. And it's tough being a South African, full stop. But I think it's particularly tough when you are a young person and you see all of the challenges around you, and you realize that you know, in as much as the period from what 18 to 35, or your teenage years to 35, are supposed to be fun, young, carefree, and just awesome, for lack of a better word, there is very real. Not even challenges, I mean persistent problems that we just can't seem to deal with. One of them being youth unemployment. And we're joined now by Crystal Duncan-Williams. She is the project lead at Youth Capital, a youth-led advocacy program to reduce youth unemployment. I think maybe if there's one thing that we can try and solve in terms of the litany of issues South Africa faces, youth unemployment would be a great one. We welcome you to the program and thank you very much for waking up so early on a public holiday. Crystal, good morning.
Good morning, Nicholas.
So talk to us a little bit about this campaign exactly. I mean, you work at Youth Capital, but what exactly does the campaign aim and seek to do?
So at Youth Capital, we came into existence because we recognized that what has been missing from the conversations around youth unemployment and tackling this beast really are two things. One, the voices of young people and their lived experience in these dialogues and solution creation. And two, that we're missing a common and shared agenda for the sector. You know, there have been many government initiatives, many private sector initiatives, many civil society initiatives, but none of them really strive towards a common goal. And so at Youth Capital, we spend a lot of time looking at evidence and research and talking to young people from across the country. And through all of that, we've come up with a 10-point action plan that we believe will really shift gears on youth unemployment.
So Crystal, I mean, I think about all of the government agencies out there and indeed your government initiatives themselves within the cabinet, within the young people that are serving in the cabinet, whether or not it's also the National Youth Development Agency. And I often get the feeling that they just simply have no idea about what the actual problems are that are facing the youth in South Africa. So what I'm getting at here is that sounds all great and well, a 10-point plan to try and deal with youth unemployment. But what makes your initiative different? And what makes you believe that you can actually put a dent in this monster that is eating the future of our youth?
I think there's one, firstly, the recognition that we at Youth Capital don't believe we're going to do this somehow on our own. We believe it's a collective effort. And we're really working at bringing together, you know, three main things, which is research and evidence, young people and their lived experience, best practice, so, you know, people that are working with young people on the ground and working very closely with them, and bringing all of this around driving policy change, but more importantly, I think, implementation of policy. So we have, as with many sectors in this country, we have wonderful policy on paper, but the implementation falls flat because of exactly that. The people, the people drafting the policy have no idea what it's like to be a young South African in 2021. They really don't. Like, sometimes the things you read, you're just like, this is never going to work for a young person. And so I think, you know, this is what makes us different, is that we're trying to work across all three spheres, where I think, you know, a lot of other youth development organizations are, you know, either focused on program delivery, focused on policy, or focused on research. And we're really trying to bring those three things together and recognizing that this is a collaborative effort. And we are kind of seeing ourselves as a choreographer in the space to bring all of these things together in a holistic and, synergistic way.
I really do hope that you're successful in terms of, I like that word, choreography, in terms of trying to get the equation right and bring not only the right people into the same space, but also get them collaborating in the most effective way possible. Let's talk about the economy for a second before we talk about youth identity and unemployment, because I think that that's something that critical at this point in time. Many people are seeing their youthful years just being characterized by no opportunity whatsoever, and how that is maybe going to affect them later on in life. But the economy? How important is it to try and get the economy right to not only make a dent in youth unemployment, but set us up for a more fortuitous future for not only this generation, but indeed the kids that are being born now?
Absolutely. You know, we need to fix the economy, and we need to find ways to kind of open up the economy for job creation. This is a no-brainer. But I think what we also say, you know, as part of our 10-point plan, is there are lots of opportunities that aren't being maximized currently, even in the economy in the state that it's in. If you look at SMMEs, small and medium enterprises, they aren't really being brought around the table to say, how can government or the private, you know, big corporate support you as an SMME to hire young people? I think this is a seriously untapped area that the government hasn't really looked at. And all of the tax incentives around hiring youth are very much structured for big corporates and haven't really taken into account how SMMEs could access that. And, you know, the public works opportunities, we have one of the biggest public work opportunities programs in the world. But these public works opportunities are not being leveraged very well. They aren't being thought about in a strategic way. They're really just a checkbox exercise for government to say, we created, you know, recently 300,000 opportunities for young people as basic, you know, under the Basic Education Employment Initiative. Tick a box. We gave them 3,500 rand a month for 4 months. But so what? Now those young people are back at home. They're still unemployed. A lot of them weren't trained properly. They didn't get any transferable skills that make them more employable. And so I think this is a missed opportunity. Millions and billions of rands get spent on this. How do we use these existing opportunities, even in the economy, to really create pipelines for young people to become thriving adults? Because as you say, you know, this is going to become a generational thing. If we don't support young people now, how will they support their children? And we just can continue the cycle of poverty with even worse outcomes 10 years from now.
If you just joined the conversation, we're having a very important discussion with Crystal Duncan-Williams, the project lead at Youth Capital, talking about youth unemployment. We're going to get to youth unemployment and identity in a moment or so, but first some voice notes. But before we even get to that, a quick one from you. And Crystal, do you think that we actually have the political will to deal with youth unemployment? Because you have already kind of answered that question for me in saying that, you know, government likes to tick boxes and put plans out there, but when it comes to actually making sure it works, well, shangiyaz, you know?
I think in their heads, they think that they're doing all the right things. But I think what we keep pushing to say, you know, for the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention, which the president launched last year at SONA, and COVID has kind of thrown a spanner in the works there. But, you know, that in theory is, you know, the right a step in the right direction, because it's not a new policy. It says we have all these other policies. How do we start making them speak to each other? So I think that's definitely a step in the right direction. But I think government really needs to take a hard look at itself and accept that it can only make these policies work if it talks to the people that are on the ground and if it talks to young people themselves.
Let's get to some WhatsApp voice notes and some calls. The lines are open, 011-883-0702. Are you an unemployed youth listening to this conversation and your ears are burning? And maybe even your heart and soul is burning because you are not lazy, you're just unemployed and bereft of opportunity. Give us a call now, 011-883-0702, and WhatsApp voice notes to 072-702-1702. And Dr. Abel, we got a couple in the mix there, huh?
The economy is a mess. It's a mess, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And that's stressful. It makes me want to leave. If I got the chance to get out of South Africa, I want to leave. But I also don't want to leave because this is, you know, this is where I'm from. It's being South African has like played a huge role in my identity. But because I feel like I wouldn't survive here if the economy keeps going like this, it's a lot of pressure.
You see, I think this cuts to the heart of the problem there. And Crystal, I don't know if you heard that voice note, right? But people are going to start voting with their feet now, right? And we're already seeing rising levels of immigration. And it's not only a white thing anymore with white flights. You know, black professionals are leaving at a far higher rate than white professionals. And I think it's a sad indictment, right? If people don't see a future, what choice do they have but to just pack their bags and get out?
Absolutely. And you know, I think what we must also recognize, while our youth unemployment crisis has existed for, you know, more than a decade now, and it's continued to get worse. It is a global problem. So, you know, young people who are coming out of some kind of training or basic education, we see many countries in Europe, Italy, Spain, also struggling with youth unemployment. And I think the world of work is shifting, and we haven't figured out how to navigate that. So I think it's important to acknowledge that South Africa has its problems that were inherent before, but, you know, the shifting nature of work and COVID have exacerbated those problems. And I think, you know, you make a fair point. What unfortunately will start to happen is that those who are professional and have qualifications will start to leave, and those who don't have anything, who stand no chance of actually getting working visas elsewhere, will be the ones stuck here.
Fighting for the scraps that are left.
Exactly. And so we need to start, you know, saying, what skills do we have in the country? How do we partner young people who are qualified with no work experience with older mentors and people who have the experience, so that we can pass that on instead of saying to young people, you have no experience and therefore you're not qualified for the job? How do we start thinking about really, you know, passing that skill on in a way that is meaningful through things like learnerships and internships?
Let's go to Mickey in Sandton, a nice way for us to get into what he wants to chat about, the practical training of our youth. Mickey?
Hello, yes. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to say that sort of endorsing what's just been said is having a sort of apprenticeship like we used to have, where the training and the practical are alternated. So when the person comes out at the other end, they've got both some theoretical training and they've had practical experience in an actual workplace, and they've been earning some money. It might be a lower salary than a fully qualified person, but at least they're earning something while they're studying and learning.
Mickey, you're 100% right then. I'm supposing you would also agree there, Crystal. And, you know, I don't know when we graduated in South Africa, and graduated is maybe the wrong word to be using, but graduated to this thinking that you need that tertiary qualification, you need an undergraduate degree, or at the very least, you need a diploma to go anywhere, right? And I'm not discounting the importance of higher learning institutions like universities and universities of technology that teaches you critical thought, but that's not the only thing that's going to get you a job, right? I mean, I'd struggle to find qualified plumbers, electricians, artisans in South Africa that are sitting idle at the side of the road with nothing to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's kind of it's a vicious cycle. So what has happened is, because the youth unemployment rate is so high, employers can be as picky as they like. You know, you see an ad for your local retailer, Pick and Pay, Checkers, ShopRite, and they're asking for a matric with maths and science. Now, let's be honest, you don't need a matric with maths and science to be able to work in a retail store. But because the unemployment queue is going around the block, an employer can be as picky as they like. You know, and I think that's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that young people, because they've been sold this narrative that you must study something, you have to do some kind of post-school qualification. What I am seeing happening from talking to young people is they desperately try and study anything. And you have, you know, my experience, thousands of people who've gone to do some kind of business administration course, and the market saturated. And so that degree actually doesn't translate into working opportunities. But nobody is punting the artisan space to young people. You know, it's seen as a plumber or you know, an electrician or whatever. It's seen as something that is for people who aren't clever enough for university.
Mm. What's sexy about being a welder, or what's, you know, yeah. Is there status exactly. In being, you know, someone that fixes your pipes at home? Those are the people that are earning the money, though. Look, I want to get to this conversation about unemployment and the identity of young people. Well, we got a couple of calls. We'll get to them quickly. Werner in Pretoria, please keep it short and sharp.
Hi there. How are you?
Yes, great. Go ahead.
I just want to say, you know what? I think we actually need to create a culture in our youth, like, that they should want to work, you know, and that they need to work hard for a proper education and not just want everything for free. Mm. And once you do finish your studies, like, you need to work yourself up from the bottom.
Mm. Werner, do you really, really believe that the youth of South Africa want everything for free?
There are lots of them out there. You know, they want their debt written off of their university and so forth. You know, because government has created a culture that it will give you things. So it starts from the top. And we as South Africans need to change that culture that for anything that you want, you need to work for it.
Werner, look, I agree with you in point. Yes, you need to work hard for everything that you expect to get in life. But I think it's a misnomer to characterize the youth of South Africa as being, these feckless people that, give me. I really, covering things like Fees Must Fall as a journalist. That's not people that just want stuff for free. They don't have the money for it and they want a chance. In any case, Stanley in Sandton, please also keep it short and sharp.
Yes, no, Nicholas, I think we have diagnosed our problem of unemployment in general, including that of youth, as structural unemployment. But the manner in which we are going about in addressing it really has, we have missed a point. And I'm against people who are saying we should close our borders and try and do everything ourselves here. Your speaker, the person that you had invited said, the unemployment, including youth unemployment, is a global phenomenon. And President Ramaphosa, before he became president, when he was deputy, he had a very good strategy of blue ocean economy and saying, how do we entice youth to participate in that? And if you go in the maritime environment, there's a lot of jobs there, but we are not teaching our youth in such a way that they can take those opportunities. And we're saying it is wrong for South Africans to go abroad. Every country, the majority of the people work outside their countries. If you look at the European Union, the youth there don't work in Europe. They work in other countries. So we should allow migration whilst we are also trying to address our own challenges here at home.
Stanley and Sandton, we have to leave it at that. Unfortunately, time working against us, but you make some very, very important points there. So, Crystal, let's talk about youth unemployment and identity, right? He raises a very good point, the previous caller, about structural unemployment, right? Unemployment has been with us for so long, and I used the example in the last hour. Back in the day when I was a student, the in thing was to go and get a waitering job or a bar job. I worked in a bar to make some extra bucks and, I was lucky enough not to have to pay for rent and that type of thing. But the point I'm trying to get to is that a lot of these opportunities are disappearing before their very eyes because people need to work in those jobs full time to support their families. So how do you think that unemployment has been characterized in South Africa? Has it been characterized correctly? Is it something that we just have to learn to deal with? And is this going to be something that marks the current crop of youth and indeed generations to come as just something that's part of them? That is their identity as a youth. I'm young and unemployed.
I think, this caller just makes the point that it is structural. And I think, when we think about unemployment, one of the mistakes we make is we think of it as this isolated thing. Young people can't find work, full stop. And it's a journey to get to that point. And it's a multitude of systemic barriers that young people face in that journey. It's coming from a basic education system that for a large part does not prepare them for the world beyond school. It doesn't give them the skills they need to navigate a clear career choice. It doesn't give the skills, critical thinking skills that we need young people to have. It doesn't teach basic skills like CV writing or how to show up for an interview. And then they step out of places of learning into this nothingness. 60% of young people live in a household without an employed adult. Now, you and I can think of all the ways we got work in our working lives through people we knew. If you don't even have somebody in your household who's employed, how are you ever supposed to find those opportunities, know how to look for work, know how to show up for work if nobody in your house has ever been unemployed? And this kind of generational cycle of unemployment is only going to get worse. So I think when we think about youth unemployment, we have to look at it as an entire system that is failing young people. Young people are showing up. They are hustling. They are selling meat at the taxi rank. They are selling airtime to people. They are trying desperately.
They don't want stuff for free, right? I use that point once more. People are not unemployed and lazy. They're just unemployed.
Yep, absolutely. Young people are desperately trying. I mean, I speak to young people all the time and they're looking for an avenue. They're desperate. They keep being told, be entrepreneurs. But how can you start a business when you've never worked a day in your life? Mm-hmm. Like basic things like accounting or administration, how would you know how to manage all of that if you've never even been in the working world?
Bootstrapping seems like a faraway dream, like you say, if there's not even a person in your household that has a job and has been going to work and you see what that even looks like. So, it's a dreary picture, but shoot us straight. What does your work bring you into contact with the young people? What's the picture that they paint about their economic prospects? We've spoken about the fact that there's this fleeing for the door. But what you know, what's the general consensus? Is the muscle to hustle still there? Are people getting despondent? And are we sowing the seeds for revolution?
I think this idea that young people are a ticking time bomb is something that really rubs me the wrong way, because I think that energy that we're speaking of and seeing it as this negative thing is a positive thing. When you speak to young people, if you give them the space, you'll be amazed at the ideas that young people have. You know, on a weekly basis, we get young people getting in touch with us saying, hey, what if a bank, you know, what if banks certified your stuff for you to make the certification process easier? Because, you know, just to get things certified for a job application can cost, you know, quite a bit of money for a young person with taxi fare, etc. So simple little innovations like that. And young people are coming up with those ideas themselves. But the problem is that we don't give them a real seat at the table. We say, oh, you can like put a couple of hashtags on Twitter. You can talk amongst yourselves. But what we really need to do is open the door to young people to be at the table when we're talking about the solutions, and make sure that that is a real seat and not tokenistic, and that we actually give them the space to drive that change. They need our support, and they need the space to be able to voice those solutions. They have them. We just aren't listening.
Another very, very important thing, right? Young people and mental health. It's another thing that gets poo-pooed, much in the same way as people think, ah, you know, young people that can't find work are just lazy. Young people that say that they have mental issues, ah, they're just being drama queens. That's a real, to me anyway, a real present danger that not only the current generation of young people face, but future ones as well. I mean, I don't want to say that mental health and caring for it is coming in vogue and becoming fashionable, but we're beginning to learn the importance and the need for us to take that into account, surely.
Yeah, what we saw with COVID, I mean, we knew that mental health was a problem before. And you know, the sad thing with mental health is the stats are just, because it's so stigmatized, because it's so poorly understood in many communities, it's often been underreported. And so I think the fact that we're speaking about it more is a great first step. You know, if you can think about, imagine looking for work for 3, 5, 10 years and never finding a job. Can you imagine the amount of rejection you must suffer and what the toll that takes on your mental health and the dignity? We all know that, you know, having a purpose every day, getting up and going to a job, or, you know, earning a living, there's dignity in that. And millions of young people have never had that dignity. And so we have to think about how all of that weighs on their mental health. And then COVID comes along and they're suddenly isolated. They can't even get out and look for work. They're just stuck at home. And so, you know, the research reports that came out from COVID, and there was one yesterday from the Department of Higher Education and Training, saying that the mental health, like up to 75 to 80% of young people are struggling with some kind of anxiety or depression through COVID. And those numbers are astounding. And we know that, you know, mental health support is a costly thing to figure out, but I think we really need to start looking at how do we provide mental health solutions for young people at scale, even if it's basic kind of mental health support. If we don't address this, this is going to become another crisis we have on our hands.
Crystal Duncan-William, I would love to talk to you for more on this matter, but unfortunately, we have to bow down to the news gods for the 10:30 news headlines. Where can we find out more about not only Youth Capital, but this campaign around youth unemployment before I let you go?
So you can go to youthcapital.co.za, and we're on all social media platforms at Youth Capital SA.
Crystal Duncan-Williams, project lead at Youth Capital, youth-led advocacy campaign to reduce youth unemployment. I hope you enjoy the rest of your youth day. Keep your WhatsApp voice notes coming in.